Your destination, outer space. Your speed, astronomical. Your closest encounter, asteroids. Between the Earth and the Moon lies the adventure. Space Mountain, the greatest ride in the universe, at Disneyland Paris.
Hi, welcome back to Hyperion Gazette. Been a while, probably too long, some would say. Maybe no one's listening anymore. Hopefully someone will. Jack won't. Jack's here. Say hello, Jack.
Hello.
So this is Jack. He basically came to me and said, you should start Hyperion Gazette up again. And I said, yeah, I'll do it sure. If you do it with me. So that's why he's here.
Hello.
Jack, tell us a bit about yourself.
Cool. I am I run a small YouTube channel where I make videos about theme parks. Called World of Thrills, and recently just been to Disneyland in California, to which I have been hyping it like mental to Isaac, and the only response he can have back to me is, I know, I've been telling you how good Disneyland is all these years and you've never believed me. And it was one of those things where you kind of got to experience it to believe the hype.
So I think this is going to be a slightly different kind of show to how it has been in the past. Then we're going to go for something sort of slightly longer form, maybe a bit more conversational. But I do want to focus on like a specific topic of Disney trivia each week, every 2 weeks. I don't know how we'll go with this. We're all just sort of feeling it, aren't we? That's basically it. Does that sound good to you, Jack?
Yeah, man. Sounds amazing.
Okay. I do think we should... We're quite fortunate that yesterday there was a massive Disney event, so I think we should probably talk about some of that. Yeah, so Disney 100, they did a big event in London last night. Did you catch up with any of it? Did you see any of what went down?
I didn't, unfortunately. I knew that there was a kind of like a big celebration, and they announced a load of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. Basically they announced like a bunch of like events and stuff to celebrate, like in the European region, to sort of celebrate 100 years of Disney, because 2023 is 100 years of the Walt Disney Company, which is kind of amazing. D23 mm-hmm. in it. But basically I think the big one is probably that Disney 100 concert, which we got tickets to this morning.
We did, yeah.
We did. So that's basically like they're calling it 100 years of wonder. Now I love marketing speak. It says the live multimedia experience, whatever that means. Basically it's an orchestra and a screen. But it's a live multimedia experience, and we're gonna get like a whole bunch of musical excerpts and scenes from films, and they have specifically cited Beauty and the Beast, Mary Poppins and Encanto, along with highlights from the worlds of Pixar, Star Wars and Marvel. I think undoubtedly we're going to be like partially disappointed, because I really want to hear Treasure Planet, but I'm not confident we're going to hear that.
Yeah, they'll probably favour more the newer things like Encanto,
but also like the classics, you know.
Yeah,
so I expect we'll get Steamboat Willie, all that sort of thing. Probably a bit of Fantasia, Snow White, etc. But it's very exciting to be able to go to like a concert and hear music, like all this Disney music that I listen to a lot, especially the Pixar stuff. I mean, we were waxing lyrical about Finding Nemo, weren't we, Jack?
Yeah, that in Illuminations, the bit where it goes from Little Mermaid into Finding Nemo, that bit is just I can't wait to see it.
yeah, exactly. We'll get onto Jack's first Disneyland Paris visit later on in the show, I think. But yeah, UK-wide tour. Go get your tickets, guys. The Glasgow, Leeds, Liverpool, London, Manchester, Birmingham, Cardiff, and Bournemouth. Bournemouth seems like an... Yeah, fair enough. yeah, London, the O2. I kind of thought they were going to sell out, but there seems to be plenty of tickets available still.
Nice, that's good.
So, that is good. It's a weird time, though. 4:30 on a Sunday.
Is that a matinee, technically?
I don't know how that works, but it's, yeah, maybe. Maybe they've planned it so they can do an evening show as well. But me being an old man, I don't mind a 4:30 on a Sunday show. That sounds pretty good to me. They also have announced other stuff, which we will be going to, Jack, just pre-warning you. Disney 100, the exhibition.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, like, it's the official wording is it promises to take guests on a journey through Disney's past, immersing them in the beloved stories that have been entertaining the world since 1923. So there'll be, like, loads and loads. Like, I'm expecting to see props, reference models. Do you remember when we saw the Pixar, Art of Pixar in Amsterdam?
Yeah. Yeah.
Long time ago. I'm expecting something similar to that, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, if it's that kind of behind the scenes kind of anything where you get to see where the original ideas come from and then follow it through to screen, that is always going to be a win in my books.
Yeah, I mean, they flat out said includes rarely seen original artwork, artifacts, costumes and props. So all I'm saying is if we don't see a Jack Sparrow costume there, I will eat my hat.
Your Jack Sparrow hat.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'll be wearing all around. I've heard of one. But that's opening in the US first, and then we'll come to Europe. We're not getting it till autumn next year. So there we go. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? They're also doing some other, I think those two are the highlights, really, but they're doing some other stuff, like something called Wonder of Friendship, the experience. It's like 1,000 square meters of different experiences and installations across 4 rooms. It's targeting Gen Zs, you know. I'll probably go to it anyway, but there we go.
Yeah. Knock it and then you'll be desperate to go.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh, this sounds weird, and I'll be there. I'll be like, I'm in, I love it, I'm in. And they're doing, yeah, loads of stuff, and then like products and stuff. But the big one, Jack, I think the big one, is that they are going to be doing 100th anniversary celebrations at Disneyland Paris throughout next year. A year of surprises, they've said.
Are you thinking like exclusive merch, similar to the 30th stuff?
I think they'll definitely, well, undoubtedly there'll be merch. This is Disney we're talking about. True. I think there will be, they have said, one-of-a-kind entertainment program, character performances, and Disney activities. It wouldn't shock me if there was a new show or something. Yeah. I saw some people on Twitter last night suggesting that there could be a new nighttime spectacular, which I think personally is overdue. But I feel like they probably would have just said that last night that was coming. But yeah, that's Disney 100. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Walt Disney Company's been going for 100 years is definitely something to celebrate. And yeah. And I honestly would have expected it to be just kind of like an American kind of celebration, that you know, the main part of it is in Anaheim and in Florida. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we're getting it over in Europe is very exciting. And the fact that they had the celebration in London too, I feel like you can bring some of that kind of, because D23 is in Anaheim. So it's kind of like, yeah, we get our little taste of what the hype around that must be.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it looked like a really good event last night, to be fair. There's they did a version of the parade that's currently at Disneyland Paris. They did like a stage version of it, and I saw a clip of it. And it looked incredible, to be honest. I wish I'd been there. And DLP Town Square told me on Twitter, told me this morning, who has been a guest on this podcast, on this very show, told me on Twitter this morning that he recorded the whole thing and he will be uploading it to his YouTube channel. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that, guys. is going to be worth watching for sure. Just before, you know, that's all very positive. Just before we go on, did you happen to see what Bob Chapek said?
Are you talking about that when I put my non-existent children to bed, I don't watch another animated film? Is that what you're talking about?
That's basically what he said, yeah. He basically said that animated films are not for adults, which is in stark contrast to what Walt Disney said when he said we try to make the films for us first.
Did you see that he also said something along the lines of he called us consumers, not guests, as well? People that go to the parks.
Look, I'm not stupid. I know that's how they've always... That's what we are, ultimately, isn't it? We're customers. That's what we are there. We are there to spend our money. But I think just to have the guy at the top say it so blatantly, it's not a good look, is it?
No, it is kind of almost an insult. I mean, at least the way that his predecessors, or the way that Walt kind of dressed it up, was is that we're there to kind of partake in this kind of magic with him, like the experiences that we take home. Whereas Chapek seems to be, well, you're going to come to Disneyland and spend your money regardless of what I do, and he's just trying to rinse us whilst we're there. And
I just think it's a little bit of a foolish move. It might seem like a good idea short term to sort of extract all this money out of people, but there is something to be said for, like, saying people are guests. Even just, like, calling people guests. It almost subconsciously takes away the sort of... it, like, takes away the... like, the transactional part of it. Does that make sense? So when you're there, even though you are spending so load of money to go there, if you feel like you're a guest, you're like, oh, I'd love to come back and be your guest again. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if it's just like you don't, put it this way, you don't go into like Tesco's, do you? And go, God, you know, I just love being here. But I can't wait to come back and see you all again.
It's more like going to a fancy restaurant, isn't it? And getting like a really lovely gourmet meal, even though it's painful at the end to have to foot the bill. Whilst you're there, you've kind of... you know, it's the whole kind of like experience is what you're paying for. Whereas if when you're walking into this hypothetical restaurant and they're just like seating you wherever and they don't really care, then it kind of ruins
you can
that
pay
experience.
Extra for, you can pay extra for a better seat if you want.
Yeah, but I don't care.
It's like, no. What I mean is it's just like, that's what it's like, isn't it? It's like going to a restaurant, not them being like, welcome, come and have a seat, come get you anything.
Be our guest.
It's like, oh, all right, come in. Did you pay extra for a better seat? Yes. Okay. Go wait in that line over there instead of this line.
And some restaurants have their own even more expensive lightning lane.
it's bananas. I put this on Twitter this morning. I think they're sleepwalking into a very bad place. Especially when you consider like Epic Universe and what's going on there, etc. We are going to be discussing non-Disney stuff on the show as well, specifically to do with sort of parks and stuff, because I think that's very much adjacent to what the show's all about. And unfortunately it looks as though a lot of the innovation is happening away from Disney at the moment, and it would be stupid not to cover it, in my opinion.
I agree.
You agree. There we go. With that nice little bit of negativity out of the way, because we can't be too happy, I wanted to talk about Space Mountain at Disneyland Paris today, because you have done Disneyland California, haven't you, Jack?
I have, yeah.
So you've done the OG Space Mountain. How was that, first of all?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those rides where, obviously, it's kind of got the, that's a bit of clout, I don't know what other word to use, like hype around it because of it being one of these like original rides. But the one takeaway I took was just how fast it was inside in the pitch black. You kind of associate Disney rides with being very mellow, like smooth and not very exciting, but this wasn't like that. And obviously I haven't done the Paris version either. It was just kind of what I had thought about going in, but It looks very it's very different than the Paris one. Looking at from what I remember and like pictures online, there isn't that kind of theme that you've got in Paris. It's kind of like a building round, kind of like to the side. The Space Mountain kind of like ride building is kind of just hidden around the back. And also, as far as I'm aware, the Paris one's kind of got a launch, hasn't it, up the main hill?
It does.
Whereas the one in California's got like a more like traditional chain lift. But then once you're inside, it's kind of very similar, just kind of loads of helixes, airtime hills. It was very fun, very 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 fun.
Yeah. Do you know that top speed of the Space Mountain at California is 35 miles an hour?
I did know that.
Yeah, probably feels faster than that because it's in the dark. As we discovered, as you discovered at Thorpe Park when we went to the Fright Nights recently, coasters in the dark are just better.
They are.
It always feels faster. It's amazing. So if the top speed in California is 35 miles an hour, in Paris it is a mighty... I've got 71 kilometers now. What's that in miles an hour? 71. That is 10 miles an hour more. It's 44, 45 miles per hour. It is, from everything I can tell, from what I've seen of the original Space Mountain, they literally just share the name. Like, there is nothing else in common.
It wasn't even going to be called Space Mountain, was it, the Paris one? Was it Discovery Mountain to begin with?
Look at you go. Yeah. So it was originally Discovery Mountain, and it was, to be honest, a massive thing, Discovery Mountain. It was going to have like a Space Mountain indoor coaster in there, but it was also going to have like a load of other things. It's going to have a drop tower go through the top. It was going to have like restaurants in there. It's going to be, so the current building is like 61 meters in diameter. This one was going to be 100 meters in diameter, so quite a lot bigger. It was going to like have a stop in there for the Disneyland Railroad. It was going to have a much larger submarine. So you've got the Nautilus outside the front of Space Mountain, Hyperspace Mountain at the moment. It's going to have a much bigger one of those in there. It was basically just, and it was going to have like tubes which linked it to Cinemagique, which is like a theatre building in Discoveryland, and Videopolis, which is the big sort of theatre, fast food, quick service location in Discoveryland. And I've sent you these before, but you can actually see where it was going to connect. Remember I sent you that photo?
Yeah.
Where it was going to connect? So this was like, this was going to happen. This was, it was going to happen, but they kind of didn't have any money. They spent so much money on, the rest of the park, and we've been through it before, but basically Disneyland Paris didn't really make much money when it opened. They spent too much too soon, and it's kind of only now really getting out of that funk, sort of in the last 5 years or so. And that's because Disney own it. But yeah, so what came instead was Space Mountain de la Terre à la Lune, which is From the Earth to the Moon, which is based on a like Jules Verne novel, From the Earth to the Moon. Have you seen the old silent movie? So yeah, you've probably seen that. That's basically what it was based on. And when you the launch was completely different as well. So at present you sort of you go down through a tunnel and you get to the launch and you're sort of at the bottom, and then it launches you up through and down. This one would sort of, it would launch you much higher up that cannon. It's called the Columbiad cannon, and the story of it basically was that this Columbiad cannon would shoot you to the moon. And it had, frankly, an incredible it had an incredible soundtrack. I will edit the soundtrack in right now. you've obviously heard that soundtrack before, Jack.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of theme park music, aren't you?
I am. To yeah. put it softly, yeah.
So I think considering that was like 1995, they would like blast that at you from the in the trains, which I'm fairly sure was like an innovation at the time. Yeah, it's I unfortunately never got to do it. I was too young. But people have a lot of fond memories of that ride, and they want that. A lot of people want that to basically come back. Because Discoveryland at the time had a very cohesive sort of Jules Verne theme. Regrettably, it kind of doesn't now. They sort of closed another one called Le Visionarium, which is like a riff on Jules Verne, The Time Machine. And that's Buzz Lightyear, blah, whatever that version of Buzz Lightyear is called. Astro Blasters. I don't know, it's called something different in every park, and I always forget. Laser Blast. Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast is what took that space. And obviously you've got like a great big Buzz Lightyear thing out the front. There's a lot of people that think Discoveryland sort of needs... It's kind of... Discoveryland is Paris's version of Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
And Tomorrowland throughout history has sort of had a bit of an issue, because it's always sort of based on the future, obviously, if it's called Discoveryland, if it's called Tomorrowland.
So I thought the it's the Orbitron, isn't it? That's right. Yes. Out the front of Tomorrowland. So you went, not knowing what was in Anaheim, when I walked into it and saw, obviously, the Orbitron, I was like, oh, brilliant, here we go, it's a bit of Jules Verne, it's going to be that kind of vintage look of what the future would look like. And then it really wasn't like that at all. It's just very, like, white buildings. Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters? Whatever it's called.
In California, yeah.
The California one. That's there. Star Tours. And then you've got like a pizza planet. And then at the very back is a Space Mountain.
Yeah, it's virtually the same deal in Discoveryland. But they sort of, when they designed Discoveryland, they didn't call it Tomorrowland on purpose, because they were like, well, in California and Florida, they've had all these issues where the future comes and then it all looks dated. So what we'll do is we will create a land which is based on someone's version of the future. And they went for Jules Verne because obviously he's French, so it makes a whole lot of sense. But then they sort of forgot about it. Like, from the outside, visually, Discoveryland is very beautiful, in my opinion. It holds a soft spot in my heart because it's that treasure planet Atlantis sort of vibe, you know. But yeah, it's as soon as you get on Space Mountain, that sort of went with the launch of Space Mountain Mission 2, which was sort of done to be like a 10-year anniversary re-theme of the ride. What this did do was like brought in the launch further back down the canon. But this time the story was basically you just sort of fly to a supernova and come back. And it had a, in my opinion, far more inferior score that went with it, which I will play now. So you know more about like coaster manufacturers and stuff, Jack.
Yeah.
Can you give us any info on this coaster in general?
Yeah, so it's actually manufactured by a company called Vekoma, which, as far as I'm aware, I'm pretty sure that same people that make Big Thunder Mountain. Yeah, so Vekoma make Big Thunder Mountain as well. I believe it's the only one that is made by Vekoma. So even though there's multiple Space Mountains, as far as I'm aware, this is the only one that is made by the company Vekoma.
Well, there you go. It's a Vekoma coaster.
I felt like setup for that one.
Do they make the Indiana Jones one as well? Or is that someone else?
Temple du Peril, that one?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that They do not. That's made by a company called Intamin.
Oh, there you go. Intamin. I know all of these just from Jack, all these names. I don't, but that's about it. But yeah, so Mission 2 came out. And Mission 2 was basically there until 2017. It was there a hell of a lot. Well, hell of a lot. 2 years longer than the original one was there. But it was kind of just a bit odd because you still had all like the Columbiad cannon, like theming on the outside, but it just didn't really mean much anymore, and you lost a lot of the charm. I feel the set pieces when you're going through the coaster were great fun, and there was like a great light tunnel, which unfortunately is not there anymore with the latest re-theme. But yeah, one thing that happened sort of towards the end was the that coaster became so uncomfortable. So you'd sort of do it and have a headache afterwards. I'm trying to think of a coaster that sort of compares to it.
Yeah, the Vekoma actually do have, not anymore, but in the past, they do have a reputation of being a little bit rattly. More famously, the Corkscrew at Alton Towers.
Yeah,
same kind of problem.
Yeah, it just became you'd sort of go and you always did it, but afterwards you'd be like, I don't know if I can do that again. It just was horrible. But then they basically ordered these new trains. Like, I'm going off like just what I remember here, but there was like basically confirmation from cast members and stuff that they had these new trains for like years, which had like the new restraints, those nice new restraints we were talking about, where you've got like the softer.
Yeah, but like a comfort collar.
Yeah, yeah. They're unbelievable. And they sort of held them for ages. And then basically in 2017, they did what was meant to be a temporary re-theme of Space Mountain called Hyperspace Mountain. It was meant to just be there for the 25th anniversary celebration. It's still there. But yeah, so they're called Victorian styled Vekoma trains, yeah. And these new trains are like in the theme, like in that like Jules Verne Victorian Discovery Land original theme, which was very exciting. So a lot of people were like, oh, amazing. After the 25th anniversary, we're going to go back to the moon. It's 2022. And when we go in 2023, I suspect it will still be Hyperspace Mountain. So, yeah, and basically what this was is they kind of just changed a few of the things out. They, like, changed a couple of projections. There's, like, TIE fighters as you go around. But because they got the new trains, they vastly upgraded, like, the sound system. So when it's, like, blasting Star Wars music into your ears, I won't bother linking, like, playing any of that because it's just Star Wars music. But it's quite the sensory overload, this Hyperspace Mountain. I'm looking... very much looking forward to you seeing it when we do it. So I'm just reading this. Apparently it's themed around going to Jakku. Now, this is news to me. Maybe you'll feel differently. I haven't done Hyperspace Mountain in the double digits at this point. I had no idea that you go to Jakku. So... I give that what you will.
Why does anyone go back to Jakku? To quote Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. I actually think Finn said that.
Sorry.
Luke Skywalker said no one's from Jakku.
Here we go. To quote Finn.
There we go. I will edit that.
Thank you.
I probably won't. So, yeah. Space Mountain. It's had its history. It's had its ups and downs. I personally would rate it probably in my top 5 attractions at Disneyland Paris. What would you say your hype levels are for, as a coaster boy, what would you say your hype levels are for doing Space Mountain at Disneyland Paris, Jack?
So, levels of hype for Paris, just of all the rides in general, obviously Pirates of the Caribbean is number one, then followed by Big Thunder Mountain, and then it would be Space Mountain. It's just all the mountains, really.
All the mountains.
So, and Avengers Assemble Flight Force is another Vekoma and I've got a coaster.
That makes sense, actually.
Rock and roll, yeah.
Because the restraints on that are horrible. And they've not changed those, so there we go.
Even on the new trains that we've just got?
They're not new trains.
Oh, they've just got a new faceplate. Zero car.
Yeah, a new faceplate. I hope they've upgraded the speakers as well, because they were beginning to go. But yeah, we are going to Disneyland Paris in January, aren't we, Jack?
Yeah, boy.
Jack's first experience at Disneyland Paris.
I'm really excited to go to Paris. It really looks like it's like quaint, like it's very
musical. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Paris. Anaheim was amazing because it was Walt's park, mm-hmm. but then Florida seems to be like a completely different beast, and I kind of love the idea of it being much smaller, but then also it looks very like a labor of love almost. A lot of the,
yeah, 100%.
I mean, the fact that they went or used to go for like a Jules Verne theme for the area is that's right up my street. That kind of theming, attention to detail, love that.
Yeah. There's I look forward to like looking at the details of all that, and we will probably go into more details of Disneyland Paris as the weeks go on. I think that might be the show today. Bear with us, we're finding our feet. We don't know where the show is coming or going or what's happening. But yeah, thanks so much for joining me today, Jack.
No, thank you for asking. I've had a blast.
And you are going to be back next time we record. Might be next week. Might be the week after. I'm not sure, really. We'll see. It wasn't a two... Here's a good question. Bi-weekly, what does that mean to you?
Fortnightly is every 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll bi-weekly. Say fortnightly. I think we're going to go fortnightly. Yeah, I think as we go forward, we'll as we've said, we want to discuss more sort of the other parks. I want to hand the reins over to Jack on occasion to talk about Efteling. Because Efteling seems like it's very much adjacent to what we all love about Disneyland Paris and what we love about Imagineers and how they do what they do, etc. This is also sort of part of a wider relaunch of Hyperion Gazette. I'm going to be doing more video on my YouTube channel, the Hyperion Gazette. Go check it out. Plan to vlog my trip in January. But also the sort of 10-15 minute shows I was doing before, I think they're probably more suited to YouTube channel YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have more of that kind of thing over there. So if you want to go and subscribe, that'd be lovely. I'll have the link in the show notes. In the meantime, you should definitely go and check out World of Thrills, in particular the Disney vlog. It's beautifully shot.
Thank you. It's kind of it is meant to be Disney themed from the beginning, and then also there's a Star Wars themed part in the middle.
Jack's vlogs are very much like he like goes to town on making the vlog itself feel like it belongs in the park. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, the whole inspiration for this one was the Imagineering story on Disney Plus. I really fell in love with the way that they just shot and had all the colours. Yeah, that was the inspiration for that one.
Yeah, so I'll link that. Definitely go watch that. It's superb. I loved every minute of it, as always. I'm your biggest fan, Jack.
No.
But yeah, so shout out your Twitter handles, Jack.
At World of Frills.
At World of Frills. And I am at Hyperion Gazette. And he's been Jack O'Neill. I've been Isaac Pevy, and this is the Hyperion Gazette. Thank you very much.